City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Guitar, sing my songs, and never defined who I am. The man that loved you till the end. You're the last person I will love. I will recall, and best of all.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, the Oscars edition, show number 614. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell.
Hi.
It's just post-Oscars.
Just post-Oscars.
We're infinitely more interesting than any of the people on ABC News.
I'm sure.
And Joan Rivers is no longer with us. May she rest in peace.
It is interesting. I think this is a time where people are missing Auntie Joan. And then, strangely enough, she didn't get mentioned... at the Grammys, despite the fact that she won a Grammy that night.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't get mentioned in the In Memoriam at the Oscars tonight, despite the fact that she wrote several films.
No, wait, she didn't get mentioned at the Grammys, or her picture wasn't
shown? In Memoriam, she was not shown at the Grammys or at
really?
The Oscars. Elaine Stritch tonight, too, either.
Huh.
Yeah.
When did Elaine Stritch die?
This summer.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Interesting. Yeah, it was a bit weird because I kind of expected Philip Seymour Hoffman's picture, but I think he had just died last year,
yes.
So he was like the person that had just passed away.
I think so.
Last year, but
why did I immediately go to dead people?
Oh, you brought up Joan Rivers. Yeah. I mentioned Joan Rivers, but Mitchell and I, it's a tradition. On the couch, we watched with him A Gaggle of Gays.
We did,
and a book,
and a straight boy book who gets mentioned on the show more often than anyone and has never been on the show.
That's true. We'll remedy that. But anyhow, and Nilla.
And Nilla was out of control tonight.
Nilla was very excited about the Oscars. But I have to say, for me, these were kind of like a lukewarm Oscar. I wanted some more razzle-dazzle, and yet the set was razzle-dazzle.
Right.
There were some singing performances that were truly the razzle-dazzle.
Well, you know,
better singing performances on the Oscars than I thought were on the Grammys. I'll just say that.
I do not agree with you, but...
Okay. We'll duke that one out.
But it's funny, because I thought that the... show itself was lukewarm in that there wasn't any sort of pow producing moment. But I thought that all the speeches were consistently engaging. Like you said, the musical performances were excellent. So I actually really enjoyed it. I just, I thought Neil Patrick Harris, I thought he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And some things got, he nailed some things. But that long bit about his predictions, which was really just a magic trick.
Right.
It didn't get set up right.
I just feel like, you know, for me tonight, Neil was fine. He was solid. He was better than most, Oscar hosts that
right.
we've had in the past years. But I did not think he was the best at being NPH, like being the Neil Patrick that we know and love. I want him to be a little more naughty in terms of playful and impish. And kind of gay, and I wanted him to just have kind of his merriment on. and kind of just have more of the, I don't know, that mischievous little look.
Yeah, he only did one explicitly gay
bit. It felt to me like he was just felt like he kind of needed to be darker or...
Well, Scott was saying that he thought he was too dark.
Yeah, I thought he was too. I thought his comedy was darker. I thought it was crueler or colder. It felt like this is the comedy that we know people do at the Oscars, and I want him to do comedy that I didn't expect to have be comedy. I mean, I did like the bit where he came out in his underwear. That was quite funny.
Can we talk about his VPL? And his visible penis line?
Yeah.
I mean, they did not support him under that. He was wearing underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see his religion.
Yeah. I could not.
Somebody took a screen grab and blow it up. You can see the shape of the head of his penis.
There you go. I don't know.
Best part of the night.
Says you.
It says me.
I just wish he would have had a little more of his, like, you know, I mean, and I liked the opening number. The
opening number was great.
Moving pictures was really lovely. It was classier. It wasn't quite as like da na 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 as he would do on the Tonys, but I kind of missed the da na 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 na. Like I want a little more of that. I know it is, but I think he should have brought some of the stuff that won him the Emmy for doing the Tonys to the Oscars. I think that's why you hire Neil Patrick Harris, to be Neil Patrick Harris at the Oscars, not try to do Ricky Gervais jokes or try to do, you know, Jimmy Kimmel jokes or try to do. I just kind of felt like he was doing jokes that I felt like, oh, other people could do that joke too. And I kind of wished he was doing more jokes that just he would do.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's just me. And, you know.
But let's talk about the,
But the opening number was really great with Anna Kendrick and Jack Black, who I love Jack Black so much.
Genius.
Somebody put him in a movie.
Let's talk about.
Where he gets to sing again.
J-Lo sitting next to Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Let's talk about David Oyelowo, crying like crazy, and Chris Pine crying after John Legend in Common.
Yep.
Having to be comforted by Oprah.
Yep.
Let's talk about Oprah not having a sense of humor about that funny joke that Neil Patrick Harris made. I thought that was a funny joke. Like, this whole section of the audience is the movie that money that that every other film made, the seven films, and this part of the room, the larger part of the room, is Oprah Winfrey.
Yep.
And she just didn't get the joke, or I don't know.
But I didn't think it was delivered to where it was funny. The audience didn't get it either, though. See, that's the thing. I didn't think that was a Neil Patrick Harris joke.
I don't know.
I guess that's the thing for me.
She could have made that joke work. In the same way Steve Carell made the joke work.
Yeah. But I don't know that she knew it was coming at her, but maybe she did. I don't know that she did. But I'm just saying I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not going to hate on Neil. I thought Neil was great. You know, he was totally solid. I'm just so used to him being mind-blowing.
I know.
And it's unfortunate when you set the bar so high.
But it did leave room for the speeches to come through. Patricia Arquette's speech was J.K. Simmons' speech was amazing.
Yep.
Patricia Arquette's speech then took it to the next level with Meryl Streep, like, screaming like crazy. And
Patricia Arquette talking about, you know,
equality.
I mean, there was definitely a lot of moments where people had politics come out, but she started the ball rolling, really was saying at the end that, you know, basically that women should get a decent and, you know, an equitable wage.
That was the moment we saw J-Lo and Meryl Streep having a moment.
And Meryl Streep is like sitting on the edge of her seat, clapping and
like
excited.
Like she's at a boxing match.
And she's turning to like go, right. And it's J-Lo who she's
gesturing
looking at.
It was great. I mean, the costume designer who won, she made a beautiful speech. Like, people just kept making beautiful, beautiful speeches. I think he's gay. I mean, I don't know. The guy won for writing Imitation Game.
Yeah, adapted screenplay for Imitation Game. Graham
about,
Moore,
like,
in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Born and raised in Chicago.
I assume that he was talking about wanting to kill himself because he said he was different. I assume it was because of
being
gay.
Yeah, he said that he tried to commit suicide at the age of 16 because he felt weird. He didn't see other people like him and he thought he was other than.
It was extraordinary.
And then he said, so I just am saying this because I have this moment to say to some 16-year-old out there watching who feels like she isn't.
Right, he said she.
Yeah, like she isn't, that she's weird or that she's not like other people. You know, just, you know, wait until you get to have your moment and then please say this to the next 16-year-old, which
it's
was
beautiful.
Really, you and I were, of
I
course,
know,
crying. I mean, I agree. I think that... I think that the speeches were solid. definitely solid. But there were definitely some moving and momentous moments, and Mitchell and I are going to go through a number of them. But we do have to tell you what's been going on in the world news and national
news. Has there been anything else going on in the world?
Entertainment news. There are. There's other things going on besides the Oscars. It's true. We're in a little bubble, aren't we?
Yes.
We're
in Oscar bubble.
We're in the Oscar bubble. But Kirk's going to be with me right now. We're going to tell you what's going on in the world news and nation for LGBT community and people, and also what's going on in the world of entertainment other than the Oscars. So we'll be back. Mitchell Fay and I on the couch. It's the Oscar edition.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber submitted his resignation over a conflict of interest scandal February 13th, just 1 month into his record fourth term in office. And that move has made Secretary of State Kate Brown the first bisexual governor in the United States. The resignation took effect on Wednesday, February 18th. Brown, who is married to a man, will serve until 2016 when an election will be held.
Kristen Beck, a former Navy SEAL who rose to prominence for speaking out about her experiences as a transgender woman, has filed the papers to launch a primary challenge against Representative Steny Hoyer, the Democrat from Maryland, the second-ranking Democrat in the House. Beck, a decorated 20-year veteran of the elite unit SEAL Team 6, filed her papers with the Maryland Board of Elections in Annapolis. In 2013, Beck published a memoir, Warrior Princess, a U.S. Navy SEAL's Journey to Coming Out Transgender.
Three defendants have been sentenced to prison for their roles in the hate crime death of a black man in Mississippi who died after being beaten by a group of white teens and run over by a truck in 2011. Daryl Paul Deadman, now 22, was sentenced to 50 years in prison, John Aaron Rice, 21, to more than 18 years, and Dylan Wade Butler, 23, to 7 years for the death of James Craig Anderson, 48. Anderson's partner of 17 years, James Bradfield, was the legal guardian of a four-year-old child the couple were raising together.
The New Orleans Police Department's investigation has determined that 21-year-old transgender woman Penny Proud was likely murdered in the midst of a robbery. Proud was fatally shot multiple times by an unidentified assailant, making her case the fifth reported murder of a transgender woman of color within the first 5 weeks of 2015.
Alabama's stand against same-sex marriage crumbled February 13th as judges in most counties sided with federal courts rather than their own chief justice, a Republican who once called homosexuality an inherent evil.
HRC released a new survey showing support for gay marriage at 60% among likely voters in the 2016 election. 60% of likely voters say they favor allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry legally, while 37% oppose allowing gays to marry. That's only slightly higher than the nonpartisan public surveys, which show majorities backing same-sex marriage in recent years.
Sam Brownback, the Republican governor of Kansas, issued an executive order to remove discrimination protections for LGBT state employees. State employees in Kansas can now legally be fired, harassed, or denied a job for being gay or transgender.
The U.S. Army has approved hormone therapy for Chelsea Manning, who was convicted of leaking national security secrets to WikiLeaks. Manning revealed her gender identity as a transgender female after being convicted and sentenced to 35 years in military prison.
The decision to discharge transgender soldiers from the Army would be made by a top senior civilian official under a plan outlined in a draft document USA Today obtained. The move would make it more difficult to remove such troops from the service. Instead of being made by lower-level Army officers, the memorandum says the decision to discharge transgender soldiers would be made by the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Personnel. In all services, transgender troops can be automatically dismissed from service on medical grounds once they are identified.
Arkansas is set to become only the second state to ban cities and counties from locally expanding anti-discrimination laws under a bill approved by lawmakers. The bill sanctions discrimination against gays and transgender individuals because it blocks municipalities from adopting ordinances that go beyond state's law, which doesn't protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Tennessee is the only state that currently blocks local governments from extending certain anti-discrimination protections.
A gay couple made history as the submarine warship USS San Francisco returned to its home port in San Diego, becoming the first same-sex couple to ever share a ceremonial first kiss before the crew disembarked. The celebratory first kiss is tradition on all warships returning to port.
A New Jersey Superior Court judge has ruled that misrepresenting homosexuality as a disorder in marketing conversion therapy services violates the state's consumer protection laws. The ruling marks the first time a court in the U.S. has found that homosexuality is not a disease or a disorder, and that it is fraudulent for conversion therapists to make such a claim.
Congresswoman Suzanne DelBene, a Democrat from Washington, introduced legislation to reauthorize and expand the Department of Veteran Affairs, or VA's, Advisory Committee on Minority Veterans to include LGBT veterans in its membership and scope. The Advisory Committee on Minority Veterans advises the VA Secretary on the needs of minority veterans with respect to compensation, health care, rehabilitation, outreach, and other VA benefits and services.
A tiny town in West Virginia has become the smallest in the nation with an LGBT-inclusive civil rights ordinance. Thurman, with a population of 5, voted unanimously to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. The ordinance applies to employment, housing, and public accommodations.
In world news, transgender samba queen Piu da Silva was recently murdered in Brazil. A video turned up later that showed da Silva pleading with her unseen attackers. One LGBTI person is killed every 28 hours in Brazil.
In Ghana, a well-known event promoter, Kinto Rothmans, was brutally beaten by a mob because of his sexual orientation. During the attack, Rothmans was forced to confess his desire to have sex with a man in a video that has since gone viral, along with a photo of Rothmans dripping in blood.
In Ireland, former Fianna Fáil minister Pat Carey has revealed he is gay, and said he was inspired to come out by Health Minister Leo Varadkar, who also recently came out about his sexuality. Carey, 67, said he chose to speak publicly about the issue, and he is worried that soft support for gay marriage will have faded before May's referendum about mandating marriage equality.
Italy's highest appeals court has rejected same-sex marriage, saying there is nothing in the Constitution that requires the government to extend marriage rights to LGBTI people. However, it did say same-sex couples should have the same rights as unmarried Italian opposite-sex couples.
One of the stars of one of Russia's biggest sitcoms has come out as gay. Odin Biron stars in the Russian version of Scrubs, titled Interni, or Interns, in which he plays a U.S. exchange student at a Russian hospital. The actor, who was originally from Minnesota and who is dating a Kazakhstani director, said he wanted to do his best to make this count by coming out.
A bill to legalize same-sex marriage was introduced in the Congress of the Mexican state of Baja California. The bill would amend the state constitution to remove the ban on gay marriage in order to comply with rulings by the federal Supreme Court that have overturned such bans as unconstitutional.
In entertainment news, Ricky Martin will start his 20-date One World Tour in North America on Tuesday, September 11th in Las Vegas. Other stops include Chicago, of course, Toronto, Atlanta, Dallas, and Miami, among others.
Melissa Manchester's first studio album in a decade, You Gotta Love the Life, was released with a sold-out appearance at the Grammy Museum in L.A. Following her stint as a founding member of Bette Midler's Harlettes, Manchester established herself as a solo artist with hits Don't Cry Out Loud and the Grammy-winning You Should Hear How She Talks About You.
April 24th will be the U.S. release of the LGBT-themed coming-of-age drama Blackbird. The film stars Academy Award-winning actress and comedian Monique Isaiah Washington and is about a good-natured choir boy with a gorgeous voice and a host of personal issues, including his repressed attraction to the same sex.
Laverne Cox made history, becoming the first openly transgender performer to earn an acting Emmy nomination for Netflix's Orange is the New Black. However, she now will break more ground as the first transgender series regular character on broadcast TV played by a transgender actor. Cox will play Cameron Worth, a transgender Ivy League educated attorney on the CBS pilot Doubt.
two-time Tony winner Patti LuPone will star as a headstrong community theater diva in the off-Broadway world premiere of Tony-nominated playwright Douglas Carter Beane's semi-autobiographical play, Shows for Days, this June, which will co-star Michael Urie as the playwright's impressionable and wide-eyed alter ego. Four-time Tony Award winner Jerry Zaks will direct. Beane is the playwright of The Nance and The Little Dog Laughed.
Leslie Gore, a singer-songwriter who topped the charts in 1963 with It's My Party and followed it with You Don't Own Me, has died at the age of 68. According to her partner of 33 years, Gore died February 16th of cancer at New York Presbyterian Hospital in Manhattan.
And DC Comics announced Midnighter, a new comic starring a gay superhero who was originally introduced along with his longtime male lover Apollo in 1998. DC previously made history in a similar way when the lesbian superhero Batwoman was given her own ongoing monthly comic in 2011. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 23rd, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Steppenwolf Theater presents Marie Antoinette, a modern take on the young Queen of France called an unconventional, bitingly comic play, a jagged yet elegant historical riff by Time Out New York. Tickets on sale now. Get your seats at steppenwolf.org.
Lifeline Theater continues its 32nd season of Big Stories Up Close with One Came Home, a world premiere adaptation of Amy Timberlake's award-winning coming-of-age novel. One Came Home runs Thursday through Sunday through April 5th. Tickets and more at lifelinetheater.com.
Don't miss the American premiere of the scandalous play The Glass Protégé, a tale of a forbidden gay love affair between two male movie stars in the 1940s Hollywood, brought to you by Giant Cherry Productions, in association with Glitterati Productions, from February 20th through March 29th. Tickets available now from theaterwit.org.
The Broadway smash hit and classic musical comedy La Cage aux Folles is playing now at Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire through March 29th. Feathers get ruffled and households upended in a poignant tale of one family's struggle to stay together, stay fabulous, and stay true to themselves. Visit MarriottTheater.com for tickets and more.
A Red Organ Theater toasts to the start of 2015 with the smash hit Accidentally Like a Martyr by Grant James Vargas. Directed by Shade Murray, the flawless ensemble acting is highly recommended by the Sun-Times, and the Tribune says, Accidentally Like a Martyr is a warm and potent show, well worth 80 minutes of your time. For tickets and more, visit aredorchidtheater.org, now extended through March 15th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
Well, Mitchell, it's one of the gayest nights of the year, besides the Tony Awards. Gay pride doesn't even rank in the top 10.
There was one lesbian, four gay men, and a straight boy.
Yes. And Anila.
And Anila.
Watching the Oscars here. And we were talking about, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 of whether or not this was a very gay award ceremony. I mean, I think we all kind of looked around and went, it wasn't very, very gay. But I think that, once again, our barometer, it's gay. But our barometer, you know, now is so funny. It's so muddy. We have an openly gay host.
Right.
Okay. We have lesbian twins, Tegan and Sarah, singing Everything is Awesome.
Which was amazing.
Which was great, from the Lego Movie, which I have not seen, but I'm desperate to see it.
With Lonely Island, with Andy
Samberg in it. We had, a film about Alan Turing that is nominated for many awards for actor and screenplay. One for screenplay, which I don't, like we said before the news, I don't know if Graham Moore is gay, but he indicated that some part of him seemed felt different or whatever. I guess more will come out about this story after we air our podcast and finish our cocktails.
Yes, exactly. It's just water with fruit.
As we're clinking our cocktails. But that's really, really gay, as he kind of gave an It Gets Better, I would say, kind of speech, accepting his award.
Also, Chris Pine, Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt, just their presence. Not that they're gay, but...
Made all the gays happy.
Oh.
All the Chrises made all the gays happy.
We're missing Chris Hemsworth.
And then, you know, I mean, and then we have, Idina Menzel getting stroked by John Travolta, also kind of gay.
But that's
weird.
So many great gay moments. Like, I call them gay moments. Like Meryl Streep and J-Lo having a moment, gay. Jennifer Hudson singing her face off, gay. Gaga.
Well, we haven't even talked about that.
Crying.
I was kind of hiding the lead.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you're hiding the lead. I mean, Gaga, A.
Lady Gaga, Lady Gaga, Lady Gaga. Gaga. All I have to say is... Lady Gaga.
Amazing.
And before we heard that she was going to sing this retrospective, and I will say that there were naysayers, not naysayers in the room, but people, when I said, she is going to kill it because she is super, super talented. And somebody was like, you really like Lady Gaga? And I was like, yes, I really like Lady Gaga. I think she's
the real deal.
Well,
there was an article
nobody hated her in the room, but I just mean, people are always surprised and I'm like, she's the real deal.
She's not faking
it with Tony Bennett. She's not faking it when she's doing these huge pop concerts. She's not faking it when she's helping gay kids with her bus going around town, you know, her big tour. I mean, she was kind of doing it before Dan Savage was. I mean, you know, she has been...
He's old enough to be her dad.
I know, but I'm saying, like, his It Gets Better campaign was after she was taking her bus around, you know, right when she launched her very first tour, was going around, and her and her mom were doing all that stuff for gay youth. I just think that, you know, she's the real deal, and she showed it tonight, singing a whole Sound of Music
retrospective in true voice. She's been showing it this whole season at the Kennedy Center. She sang for Sting. She was amazing.
Yep.
At the Stevie Wonder concert, she sang for Stevie Wonder, and she was great. She was great tonight. There's an article in the Huffington Post about
And she sang at the Grammys.
And she sang at the Grammys.
Sang jazz at the Grammys. Sang rock at the Kennedy Center.
Right.
Sang, you know...
soul music.
Soul music at Stevie Wonder. And then sang...
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Legit. Sang it legit.
Yeah.
I mean, this article what can in the Huffington she not freaking do?
Said... Was an article about, like, what happened to Lady Gaga? Remember when she was the biggest star in the world?
It's
like,
shut up.
Are we already, like... mourning the demise of Lady Gaga?
Can we just have everything not happen in the blink of an eye? Meaning people's fame, their talent, their interests, can't people go away and live some life so they have something to say? Artists are not machines. Artists don't need to, like, churn out material just because you haven't heard a new song in a while. Like, they need to go have some life so they have something to write and say. That's my soapbox. I'm going to step down now.
I agree. It's more just like, just because her last album didn't, well, the jazz album did great, but the album before that, Art Pop, just because it didn't sell what the album before did, it doesn't mean it was a failure.
The first album was a phenom.
I mean, that's my point, you got to put it in perspective.
Yeah.
It's like she's still, she was amazing. But the moment that really killed me, her performance was amazing. What killed me was her emotional, I mean, she must have known Julie Andrews was coming out, but her emotional like, ladies and gentlemen, when she introduced, she could barely say it. It was so cute.
Yep.
That's the gay shit. That's what I call gay shit. That's the stuff that I love.
Here's the thing about Lady Gaga is that she is reverent. She is irreverent in her own art, but she is irreverent and is a bit of an amalgam of who she revered before she created Lady Gaga. Right. You know, she is so reverent to those who've come before her. I mean, you can see it with Tony Bennett. You can see it with her appreciation of Bowie or Julie Andrews or Elton John or Stevie Wonder, you know. And you know that she is someone who is born breathing music and has absorbed it like a sponge, you know. And so...
Nothing prepared me for her to sing legit, though. You know? That was great.
No, I mean, I knew she could because I've seen her sing live enough and seen her in concert and know that, like, she has the ability to do that. But have I ever seen her be able to sing Sound of Music? I predict,
in front of a billion people.
I predict, yeah, and calm as a cucumber.
Like, calm as a cucumber.
You know, and this is the thing, when you see somebody like Sam Smith who has no stage presence yet, and God knows if he's going to get it, but Gaga's had that since day one.
Yeah.
Like, she's a born performer.
It's Barbara-like.
Well, my prediction is that she is going to get offered a film to play some singer. I don't know what it's going to be, or she's going to play, either she's going to do biographical film, or she's
being considered to play Gypsy.
Well, see, and I see her doing Funny Girl. If anybody's going to do Funny Girl,
well, they're not going to remake Funny Girl as a film.
Well, but maybe, I don't know if she'd do a Broadway show, but
they're not going to make Funny Girl.
Maybe
as a
she'll
film.
Be the next EGOT. I just think she or Hudson. Hudson's very close. And can we say Jennifer Hudson is killing it?
Also
every
killing it.
Every time she performs. Here we are. We're talking more about the music. But, I mean, that to me was... Some years, the songs from the movies are... Those performances
forgettable.
Tegan
and Sarah was great. I said my least... I guess, in retrospect, because it was so many good ones, the least interesting one for me was Adam Levine. And I really like that song.
But that's a great song. There were some great songs this year.
Tim McGraw singing for Glenn Campbell, who can't anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That song
The song
can be...
that he wrote, that Glenn Campbell wrote before
about,
he... Had,
right. About right.
And, you know, on a night where we're Alzheimer's. Honoring Still Alice about Alzheimer's and giving and then interesting, Julianne Moore
she
the
was,
award.
In her speech, she talked about
ALS, which is Eddie Redmayne.
Well, let's talk about Eddie Redmayne.
Well, that's also
I get
cute
it.
Gay.
Everyone,
he's not gay,
he's
but
not
I
gay.
Just mean he's not gay. But he is so cute that the gays have to love him. Because,
we do love him.
Okay, because I love him. He's cute like a lesbian.
He's a really cute lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So I get Michael Keaton was great, and I liked Birdman. I didn't love it, but I liked it a lot. And it's a bummer that someone at that age, it would have been cool to see him get an Oscar after all these years.
I wanted Eddie Redmayne.
But emotionally, I wanted Eddie Redmayne. I get that he's young enough to get another chance, but his performance in
I was so
Dear
moved
of Everything,
by him.
Me Too, killed me.
I was so moved by him.
Sheila, film critic Sheila, who we've talked about before, often will joke that to win an Oscar these days, you have to play a physically disabled, mentally challenged Inuit Indian
it's
lesbian,
true.
Right? And so with strange facial features.
Yeah.
And so some people criticize Eddie Redmayne's performance as just sort of like a disabled version of blackface, you know? And I think that is unbelievably disrespectful, A, to Stephen Hawkins, and to Eddie Redmayne's performance, because there is an intelligence and a knowing in his performance and behind his eyes that's extraordinary.
I just thought he was so compelling. I think there are two people who I was surprised that were not nominated this year for Best Actor, and you know, I know they only have like five or whatever they have, but I thought the kid from Whiplash was extraordinary, and I'm really surprised he wasn't nominated. I mean, in a year where you're going to nominate like Natalie Portman for Black Swan, I don't know why you wouldn't nominate this kid for Whiplash. I mean, to me, the transformation of drumming to that ability, A, physically what he had to do and the skill set that he had to learn. And then his performance was just so...
Yeah, he was remarkable.
Translucent and guarded. And
I would add on to that... both John Lithgow and Alfred Molina for Love is Strange.
Well, see, I haven't seen that, and you say that, but I think both of them, or one in the leading and one in the supporting probably, right?
No, they were both leads. They were the leads.
And then the other, you know, and then I'm just still a fan of David Oyelowo. I just thought he was amazing.
Well, that's just
Martin
weird.
Luther
that
King.
That was a good Neil Patrick Harris joke. Where
he kept mispronouncing his name every time.
I know.
Which is weird.
Or maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe we're saying it wrong.
I don't think we are.
Neil Patrick Harris walked by him and said, and introduced him, and then he said, oh, now you like him, which was a good joke.
That was a good joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I really thought, you know, once again, that was really a good moment.
Julianne Moore won an Oscar finally.
Julianne Moore, so consistently good, such a great independent artist, been such a big supporter of the LGBT community.
Huge.
And
isn't her best
and
friend
the Trevor
Tom
Project
Ford?
And, you know, working with Tom Ford, right?
And who's the filmmaker? Todd Haynes, right?
Todd Haynes.
She's working with him for years.
Yeah. She did wonderful, not The Imitation of Life, but what is it? The movie.
Far From Heaven.
Just brilliant. And, you know, and she just so deserves this. I mean, obviously, she, you know, playing the other lesbian half with Annette Bening in
Kids Are Alright.
Why can't I think of any titles? I'm totally having brain lapse.
A senior moment.
I'm having senior moments, but
which is weird because I'm older and I'm not having senior moments.
I have senior moments all the time,
and maybe I'm a little stoned.
Yeah, well, maybe you are.
I should be the one forgetting.
Or maybe you're not.
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe you're
you
sharper than I am right now.
Maybe.
But anyhow, I'm so happy to see her win because she has just had, 15, 20 years of The Hours. I mean, to me.
She's another one who's
always
good.
The Hours is a great lesbian character that is not truly identified as a lesbian character, but to me is a lesbian character in The Hours. And
who else we were saying is always good tonight? We were saying, Robin Wright. Is another actress
Robin Wright.
Always good. When does she ever...
Yes, because we saw the House of Cards trailer.
Right. So good. Like, when does she ever not knock it out of the park?
She's amazing.
Right?
She's amazing. Yeah.
Julianne Moore. Eddie Redmayne.
Right. Eddie Redmayne had a great speech.
My favorite. We talked about her speech about equity for women, but...
Roseanne Arquette. Patricia Arquette. Sister to Rosanna.
The second I saw Boyhood, which was this summer...
Yeah.
Before the movie was even over, I saw it with Book, and I turned and was like, she's going to win the Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, there are performances where you kind of know that. I mean, you love that movie. You were really rooting for that movie.
I think it's the best American movie in 20 years.
And I was really surprised that Richard Linklater didn't win.
Yeah, I'm bummed because I think this is just my theory and time will tell. I think it was the director of Birdman who said it. And
Inarritu.
I think... He said, and I think this is true, it's always time that reveals, because, you know, let's face it, we love the Oscars not because it's a measure of what the best movie or not best movie is. That's all crap. That's all bullshit. We love the pageantry and the parade of it, right? The show.
Right.
But what I always find interesting is what movies win and then which movies stand the test of time,
mm-hmm.
right? Brokeback Mountain is now considered a classic. Mm-hmm. Nobody would call Crash a classic.
No.
I remember Crash
won.
Yes,
but that was just crazy that
I know, but that happens a lot, so it's interesting. Like, it'll not that Birdman's a bad movie,
Not that Crash is a bad movie.
I think it is.
But I'm thinking of like a movie like Traffic or you know, other movies that have won that I think are solid filmmaking, but I'm not sure that they were the movie that would have won.
My question is, 20 years from now, which movie will we watch again?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll want to watch Boyhood. It's my kind of movie.
Yep.
There's no plot.
Yep.
Although Birdman doesn't have a plot. There's no plot. It's about people talking to each other.
Yep.
Well,
I guess the thing that's interesting about Birdman, and somebody else said this, and I don't know if you said this, but that the Oscars really love movies that are about actors and about film.
That's true.
Somebody else said it, I think, that I was listening to today, that like, oh, Birdman may win because the Academy and film people like movies and like awarding movies that are about actors and movie making and filmmaking or, you know, making art. And, you know, and I think it's interesting because I'm not sure that Birdman was made to be like this movie that would get this much attention.
Same with Boyhood, don't you think?
Well, Boyhood as well, but for different reasons. And, you know, because to me, Birdman is just such an insider's... You know, if you're not an actor, you don't make theater or you don't make movies. Yeah. Maybe you could make music and still get it too.
Yeah.
But you have to be in a performing art and then to watch that movie or visual art and watch that movie, you know, it's kind of like it's inside jokes. It's like an insider's
type of film.
Tell you
what, Sheila, once again, film. My critic friend Sheila.
She like it?
She did not. She hated Birdman.
Yeah. I know a few people. I mean, my girlfriend hated it, but she's not a filmmaker or an actor, but she's an artist.
Sheila is both an actress, a theater actress, a writer.
Well, no, Heather Schmucker, my BFF.
She didn't like it either.
No, she didn't like it either.
It's polarizing, and I feel that same way about...
But that's exciting. I think it's exciting that a lot of the movies this year were polarizing.
Yeah, because you and I have... We both liked Whiplash, but we liked it for different reasons and think it's about different things.
Yeah, but I loved Whiplash. I thought it was one of the greatest movies of the year, for sure. Definitely deserved to be, you know, up there today.
The documentary about Snowden won.
Yeah, which I haven't seen, but you loved.
I did. It was the one documentary that I saw.
And I didn't see many animated films this year, but I did see Big Hero 6.
Which one?
Which won, and you know what I love about that movie is that it's an animated film, and we can say that like all Disney movies are about dead family members. Like they almost all have like a dead family member. We have to deal with death, or as you know, teaches kids how to deal with death and loss. But this is truly an animated film about grief and loss, and yet it's really beautiful and powerful, and I loved it. I really did love it.
You also saw the animated short that won because it came before it, right?
It did. The little one, Feast, which is just about a dog and the dog with his, you know, it's a short, so it's just like a dog with his owner, and his owner is always giving him scraps, and then you can tell that the owner gets married or is dating a girl, and so things change. Like she cleans up the scraps, and you know, it's just like this whole thing. And then you know, there's a baby, and then the baby drops the scraps, and it's just kind of like the life of a family through the eyes of a dog through what gets left dropped on the floor. And it's real short, and it's really cute. So that one, you know, and really the film that we haven't even talked about yet, you know, which probably is probably the queerest thing of the whole Oscars is Wes Anderson's Anything. Wes Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Budapest.
Which just won a number of awards, of course, mostly design and art direction and costume design and hair and makeup and best...
production design, maybe?
Production design, I think, or art design. I also want to say, we both thought that it would win original screenplay, and it didn't.
I know, I was surprised at that.
Birdman won.
That was my issue. It's funny, because that's my issue with Birdman. I love the way it's filmed. I love the acting. Mm-hmm. I love the style of it. I didn't love the script.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a lot of the script worked because the filming of it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Even that great monologue that Emma Stone has, it's her acting and the angle that she shot that makes it extraordinary, not the words, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know,
I mean, all solid movies. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, you know, like you said.
I didn't see Foxcatcher.
I didn't see it either. It's really, and that's from what I hear, has got at least some gayish subtext.
I know, which the family's like, that's not true.
Yeah, whatever. I mean...
Honestly.
But
anytime you involve singlets...
Original score, that was the other thing that Grand Budapest got, was score. So, I mean, you know, really the two big winners of the night were Grand Budapest and Birdman.
Yeah.
Which kind of lines up with the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Which... right? Didn't... Grand Budapest and Boyhood win for that. So I don't know. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting how, you know, how it all played out. I felt like this was a solid year for movies, really diverse movies. And I was actually kind of excited that there wasn't one.
Right, there wasn't like a Titanic.
There wasn't like a Titanic or a Gravity or a whatever. But in a weird way, it's kind of like there was, because Birdman ended up kind of sweeping at the end.
Yeah.
And I wish in some ways that some
of
that
had... But it
wasn't
a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I wish that some of it had been spread to like Boyhood or to I don't know what. I mean, maybe Imitation Game. I mean, it got best adapted, but maybe that it would have gotten something else. I mean, Whiplash got a couple of awards for JK and also for editing. So it kind of comes down to, you know, the fact that Birdman ended up winning director and screenplay and cinematography.
Yeah.
In addition to film.
I get the cinematography. I mean, it's shot amazingly. Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what's fun? Like, we were talking about the pageantry and the parade. It's like the people talking about movies and having people talking about cinematography and what is editing and people's clothes. I mean, I get it. It's all dumb. It's all stupid. It's all corporate. It's not diverse enough. I get all the criticism. It also is one of the few nights of the year that the country/world is talking about art.
Yep.
They're talking about scores. They're talking about songs. They're talking about people's clothes. They're talking about designers. Yep. They're talking about filmmaking and editing and sound design. I love that.
All right. Let's talk about then what we really want to talk about, which was who's hot, who looked hot, who was hot. I have to say, Zoe Saldana, that dress made me want to dive in. I don't know if I wanted to go high or low, but I wanted to go to both at some point.
What about the gorgeous dress that Rita Ora won when she was wearing when she sang?
Yeah, with the gloves and the
gorgeous
and the poof. But
Gaga looked amazing. Two trends I noticed tonight:
Jennifer Aniston, with her see-through
sort of corseted
bathing suit, like champagne gauze.
Well, that was two themes. That sort of champagne color.
Blush champagne.
Right, blush champagne. So
flesh
it was...
Flesh color.
J-Lo.
Yeah.
Flawless.
Oprah.
Zoe Saldana. Jennifer Aniston. And then also, so that was a positive trend. I loved it. It looks particularly beautiful on dark skin.
Yeah. I also believe Kerry Washington wore something.
I think
color,
you're right.
Didn't she?
The bad trend was that there was too much going on in people's necks.
Yep.
Scarlett Johansson had the most gorgeous fitted green gown and her body looked so smoking hot that I'm a gay man and I was like, I want to hump her leg like Nilla
does.
She
looked a little skinny, but that's just me because I like her curvy.
I thought she looked curvy and booby. What I didn't like was this neck piece. So many people wore bad, too much necklace.
Yeah, why are they scared of their, what do you call that?
Décolletage?
Yes.
Their poitrine?
Why are they covering up their décolletage? Because I like a good décolletage.
I think it's that thing.
I like
thing,
saying
it's that thing,
right?
I know, or poitrine. It's that thing that Coco Chanel said, right? Like, look in the mirror and take one thing off.
Yeah. They all should have done that. Almost every one of them.
Who was I saying?
There
was one person who had a
beautiful... I think Rita Ora.
She had that gorgeous snake.
Serpentine. Yeah.
She did it right. But too many people had too much neck going on. But Jennifer Lopez with a dress, a champagne sparkly gown with a neckline cut down to her belly after two babies, flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Flawless pink lip, flawless ponytail, flawless.
I love me some J-Lo.
Holy crap, she's stunning.
She has taken every bit of talent that she has and like pushed it to the forefront. Because she's not the most talented gal, but man, she has literally doesn't leave anything on the bench when she is going out
and
to play
ball.
I also
feel like she always succeeds, right?
That's what I mean.
Her records are fun. Her concerts are fun. Her movies are fun. The TV shows she produces are fun.
Right, but I don't want to hear her do a retrospect. She's no Gaga. Like, she's not going to sit and play an instrument. She's not writing her own... Is she writing her own songs?
I don't think so.
And then she's not going to, like, go sing legit and sing jazz. Yeah. And she's going to be Jenny from the Block. Yeah. But she does Jenny from the Block so well.
You know,
well.
Here's the deal.
It's amazing.
She's a movie star. To me, she's a movie star. Like Ava Gardner was a movie star.
Yes.
Right? Who else looked great? Well, I'll tell you who I didn't like. I did not like Emma Stone. She looked like somebody's booby. It was cut
too
high.
Yeah, but she was funny on the red carpet going in. She's really...
She's funny.
She's so charming.
She's not my favorite, but she's funny. But the color, I thought the color was terrible on her. I thought, what was Naomi Watts wearing?
Yeah, I don't know. It was some sort of graph paper.
It looked like she was playing one of the cards in Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
Like she was like a playing
card.
But
that kind of went through like a sausage maker or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't enjoy it.
Didn't enjoy it. But yeah, Zoe Saldana is definitely one of my top dressed.
Eddie Redmayne, I thought, looked so dapper.
Neil Patrick Harris looked fantastic throughout.
Neil Patrick Harris looked great. I thought that...
Eddie Redmayne always looks fantastic, you know. He always has the most beautifully fitted
suits. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, Idris Elba.
OMG.
Well, we were all just like, look at his... we were all just like, look at his shoulders.
And I'm sorry, but Common and John Legend is a sandwich I'd like to be in the middle of. Both of them. First of all, their song was amazing.
Amazing.
It was probably the highlight of the whole show.
I think so too.
And, you know, got three standing ovations or whatever. Right. I mean, just like amazing. They couldn't stop clapping. I loved how they designed. I will say the best dressed of the whole evening, I think, was the set. I think this was one of the best set designs I've ever seen. I enjoyed everything about it. I loved the shimmery curtain. I loved the backdrop.
I loved the Oscars on the floor.
I loved the Oscars on the floor like compasses. I loved the little like hologram spinning cell molecule things that were kind of behind
DNA strand.
DNA strand looking things that were behind people. It all seemed to work really, really beautifully. And, I mean, I loved how they did all of the songs, from the zaniness of Everything is Awesome with Stormtroopers on stage and little Legoed Oscars to the beautiful birch trees for Lady Gaga with her white dress and the stringed instruments just like sporadically.
It was beautiful.
Like almost like a almost haunting. I don't mean that in a bad word. That's the wrong word.
It looked like an enchanted forest kind of.
Yeah. For her 50-year retrospective, and then just J-Hud just there, like standing in black, no jewelry practically, and this the gold lights and so exposed for the memorial. I just thought, you know, and then for the glory number, which is why I mentioned it and thought of it, where they had the bridge and the people coming out, the choir coming out and singing and taking like just that really slow march of a step, you know, yeah. Every time they said glory, you know, to cross the bridge.
A common speech. Yeah, common speech. So good. Well, I really feel like there was so many. We were joking that we hit on all the big points, right? Racism, homophobia.
Equal pay for women.
a couple of diseases got in. There was, you know.
Immigration.
We hit all the big ones.
We really did.
Yeah.
You can definitely. Liberal Hollywood. Fox News is having like.
Let me tell you something. They're going to fucking lose their minds. Can't wait to watch like Fox in the morning, like Fox and Friends. They're going to shit their collective pants.
They are.
I mean, they're just going to lose. I mean, they're going to lose their minds and it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Nothing makes me happier when the fucking right wing loses their minds over liberal Hollywood.
Liberal Hollywood and the liberal media is like
talking about like loving yourself and feeling okay and being validated.
And not being a weird kid and killing
not being
yourself
a weird kid,
at 16
equity,
has to
equity,
be liberal. Why
and this
would that
immigrant
be
nation
liberal?
And all of this sort of stuff, right? Like as if any of that is bad.
Yeah.
And they become like cartoon trains that get overheated and steam like steam coming out of
I mentioned it. I'm telling you,
it's gonna be great. I'm excited to watch it.
But yeah, I mean, it was a really good night, and it's a tradition for Mitchell and I.
Gotta watch.
You're not gonna be here for the Tonys, so what am I gonna
know.
Do? I don't know. We're gonna have to Skype you in or something.
I do love me some Tonys.
We have to figure that out.
I'm going to miss them.
I'm assuming Neil Patrick Harris will host them again.
Who knows?
We'll see.
I am curious to see what his reviews are tomorrow, because I feel like in our room, people were not happy with him. I had less issues with him. I think that you made a point that like he was great, but it was not his personal best.
It wasn't his personal best.
And so I will agree with you. I agree with you there. But I also still think he did great.
Yeah, he was totally solid.
I think he just sort of stayed out of the way in a way.
He did. He was totally solid, and it was a long night. So, you know, his best effort would have been just to keep it. And, you know, he definitely had some fun jokes. I mean, he had the thing in the moving pictures. I mean, definitely moving pictures was really, really great. Mm-hmm. I mean, The opening number, we had the thing about, you know, the tension between Matt and Ben, and they lingered on that shot of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Another great Ben Affleck joke was later on when he said he was about to introduce Benedict Cumberbatch, and he said,
how John Travolta pronounces Ben Affleck.
John Travolta pronounces Ben Affleck, Benedict Cumberbatch, which is really funny.
And then also the joke later about like how great John Travolta, but he's going to have to come back next year to apologize to Idina Menzel for all the face touching.
Yeah, for all the face touching.
Why is he so creepy? Wait,
what is
Before we say goodnight, let's just leave everyone with the image of John Travolta's hairpiece. Okay, couple of things. Let me just go off of this. Couple of things. Johnny, dear Johnny, thank you for Vinnie Barbarino. Thank you for Tony Manero. Thank you for Danny
staying
Zuko.
Alive. I still love staying alive.
Thank you. Thank you for Danny Zuko and Tony Manero. Thank you. We know
you. And Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Right. We know you're bald. We've seen you without your hairpiece and how thin your hair is. Why do you wear that waitress black hairpiece where we can see the front netting? Aren't you rich as Roosevelt? Like, who put that thing on his head? It looked like the Lego thing, right? Well, we were saying it looked like the Lego wig.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so that's creepy enough. Like, you know that we know you're bald, right? It's cool. You're in your 60s. We get it. B, why did you touch her face so much?
I don't know.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. Because here's the thing. I love John Travolta.
I don't love him. That's a present tense. I will not say that.
Okay.
I loved him. When I thought he was out in the 70s before he went back in, had a couple of fake marriages, fucked his pilot, and then denied it, and then tries to get hand jobs at massage parlors at various resorts and cruise ships. He's a friggin' creep who cannot, just refuses to like own up to his authenticity and unfortunately has destroyed a lot of the goodwill around him mm-hmm. by the public for his mm-hmm. weird jet black hairpiece. Mm-hmm. John, you're in your 60s. Mm-hmm. You do not have jet black hair. In fact, you don't have hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he just keeps being weird. I think he has blown his cachet. Like I said, thank you, Vinnie Barbarino.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Tony Manero.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Danny Zuko.
Mm-hmm.
I will forever be indebted.
Mm-hmm.
Please go away.
Yeah. I don't know.
John Travolta, Nicole.
I keep, he makes me so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
It's
weird.
It is.
Bless him.
Bless him. Lord, love him.
Lord, love him because, I mean, you know, it's schadenfreude, but boy, it's enjoyable in a weird way.
Oh, God. All right. Can I go back to thinking about Zoe Saldana and which part of the dress I'm going to go
for? There was a dude that you got all excited about. Who did you get all excited? Was it Idris Elba?
Yeah.
You got all excited. We were all like, Amy.
Or.
Bless you.
It may have been. I'm sneezing.
You
Excuse
are.
Excuse me.
My goodness.
It wasn't Common.
No, but you do like Common.
I do like Common.
You did. You got all sort of like hot and bothered about some dude. I can't remember.
I thought they were all so cute tonight.
Everybody was handsome.
I'm not a gold card lesbian or whatever you call it, but
right.
But I'm pretty damn gay.
I'm not a gold card or whatever. Gold star gay. But
Chris Pratt is just adorable to me. I think
Chris
he's
Pratt,
adorable.
Chris Pine, Chris Evans, and
yeah, Chris Evans and Chris Pine. I don't want to do, but Chris Pratt I think is adorable. And I thought Common was hot. And John Legend.
For me, it's all about J-Lo.
Yeah.
For me, it was all about J-Lo. She came,
hot.
She saw, she conquered.
Yeah. I thought Gaga looked beautiful.
Beautiful. And her runway dress was really stunning.
Yeah, she looked beautiful in both of her outfits. I don't know. I mean, Jennifer Aniston has the body that will not quit.
Wow, right?
I need to go do some yoga or something. We need to stop doing this.
How about
so I
just
can
do cocaine?
Do cocaine.
I'm kidding.
You get high and I'll
I'm
do cocaine.
I'm kidding.
But yeah,
but do you have some?
No, she looked stunning. She looked stunning. So I don't remember who I looked at and I was like, habana, habana. I don't remember.
I think to sort of wrap up my opinion of the night, I am a little bummed that Boyhood didn't win Best Film because I really do think it's a masterpiece that will stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Like an Altman film, who, by the way, never won an Oscar.
Yeah. So many people.
So many people. Cary Grant, Barbara Stanwyck, Myrna Loy.
Yeah. It's not a litmus to anything.
But I meant the fact that his films have stayed that thing about Test of Time.
Absolutely.
But my emotional love of Patricia Arquette and Eddie Redmayne made it a very successful night for my geeky movie loving heart.
Well, yeah, and I have to say, to see Julianne Moore finally win, you know, I wish. You know, I know that she made a film about Alzheimer's and obviously very, very important. But, you know, she's just made so many great movies.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great to be able to...
She made in the 90s, 95?
Oh, yeah, I saw it with Michelle and Maureen. one day after work. These are people that how Mitchell and I met.
Yeah, Michelle Marie. So I saw it with Jeremy Johnson.
I saw it at the Music Box. But I have loved her. I have loved her since Safe, since Vanya on 42nd.
Oh, yeah.
Since, I've loved her. She's been one of my favorites always.
What's the Robert Altman film she's in?
Shortcuts.
Shortcuts. Amazing.
Yeah.
Boosh out.
Yeah.
Boosh-tastic.
Yeah. I mean, she's a brave actress.
She's an indie actress.
I mean, she should have won something. She should have won an Oscar for Boogie Nights. I mean, she was brilliant in Boogie Nights.
She's beyond. Or Magnolia.
I mean, she's just brilliant, and she deserves it, and we can sit here and count off, and I'm sure, you know, Nicole Kidman and Meryl Streep, both in the front row, her ladies from The Hours,
I know Meryl Streep, you could see her face when Julie Moore was getting up, you could see Meryl Streep sort of in the background.
Yeah.
Just living, having it all.
I mean, people are so happy for her. I mean, she's just a hardworking actress and has been a huge part
Julie Moore
of
has an Oscar.
Indie films now.
Eddie Redmayne has an Oscar. Patricia Arquette has an Oscar. It makes me so happy. And J.K. Simmons.
And I feel like those are all kind of, people who've done their time. I mean, even, as a young actor, Eddie Redmayne, but he's
a British stage actor.
Yeah. And
he's paid his dues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He and may be J.K. Simmons,
he may be a new movie
actor.
Star, Eddie Redmayne, but he's not a new actor.
No. Yeah. Absolutely not.
He's been acting since he was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, they're all at different places in their careers and different ages. When you think about those people, you know, you've kind of got 30s, 40s,
J.K.
50,
Simmons is a...
and he's 60, right?
Yeah.
So 30, 40, 50, 60, I mean, that you...
He's good friends, I found out today, with friend of the show, Mike O'Malley.
Oh.
They did an independent film years and years and years ago when Mike sort of was first making it in Hollywood. And J.K. was, character actor. And in fact, I think J.K. Simmons played a gay... either like a butcher or a florist, or he owned like a shop. And I remember seeing it years ago because I was, following Mike back then, and clocking that actor as the same actor who was on Oz.
Yeah.
I mean, so this guy's...
like the white supremacist.
He was in Guys and Dolls on Broadway. He was Benny South Street with Nathan Lane and Faith Prince.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been working.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely... I mean, that's a great night. And you just know when an actor like him, like J.K. stands up, or Julianne Moore, you think about how many people in that room have worked with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you could think even in like the Chicago theater community or whatever, how many... maybe you're not in the film with the actor who is nominated for that play that year, but you worked with them 4 or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and there's a lot of that. I felt like there was a lot of goodwill in the audience.
It seemed like a lot of goodwill, because even the politics seemed, sometimes the politics seemed self-indulgent. I thought the politics tonight were spot on.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so too.
I liked the show tonight. I have to say, I thought it was a good show.
It was a good show. So if you haven't seen movies, go out and now go see some of the films. I know I'm going to see Grand Budapest because I haven't seen it.
Grand Budapest, you super duper recommended Whiplash just in general in the year.
I do. I strongly recommend Whiplash.
I say Find Love is Strange if you haven't seen it.
I know. That I've got to see too. And I want to see Nightcrawler. Didn't win for this, but did
another
win
one
some
I'm
independent films, so you and I need to see that.
She'll also really love Nightcrawler.
Excellent. All right, everyone. Well, that's it, because we've got to go to bed. We're old.
I'm going out.
You're going out.
No, I'm not going
You're
out.
You're not going
who,
out. Nilla's already out. She's like on her bed and out.
I know.
But we hope you all had a great Oscar night.
Happy
and thanks
Oscars.
Again. Happy Oscars. And coming up in our next show, we're going to go do a little... look ahead, follow up with gays in the military, LGBs in the military, with someone who's been on our show before. Going to kind of look at what's happened since Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Can't believe it's been 3 years. And about a new memorial that's going to be happening here in Illinois honoring LGB veterans. So that coming up in our next show.
Awesome.
All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. Oh,